Bill Searcy, how the heck are you, my friend?
Hey, Ron, how you doing tonight?
Good, man, good.
Fired up?
It's hot out there.
Are you excited?
I am.
If you're not, let's just don't do this.
But okay? I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Don't be nervous?
No, it's going to be good, man.
Okay, we're looking forward to it. Alabama, number two in the AP poll. But you know that pressure, and you know one of the things that I talked about, six consecutive year Alabama's been in that number, top five.
Right.
That sort of reminds us of the 70s.
Yeah, and you know what? I'd rather us not be in the, even be in the preseason top 10, take that bullseye off our back maybe for a year. But, you know, hey, it's an honor to be voted or to be picked as that high up in the preseason polls, especially the way we finished the season last year. None of us enjoyed that. None of us liked it. And, you know, to us, it was maybe a catastrophe. To others, maybe not so much. But here in Alabama and in Tuscaloosa and in our state and our fans, we didn't finish like we wanted to finish. Obviously, we're looking for better things this year.
You look at it, and I'm gonna go back. It's at 8 o'clock, so I know a lot of people are wanting to chime in. I asked a question a couple of minutes ago, and everybody's wanting to chime in about Steve Spurrier. If you're up by 21, you've got 3 minutes to go, you're in the 10-yard line, do you push it in or take a knee? And everybody's wanting to comment, so that we'll do that at 8 o'clock, I promise you. We'll squeeze in some phone calls. But I go back to this offseason. Mm-hmm. I cannot think about an offseason, even though it was 11 wins, it stopped a dynasty. No three championships in a row. You can continue that dynasty. Nebraska, we count the 90s as a dynasty. There was a gap there.
Yeah.
You look at most dynasties, you don't continue consecutive. So Alabama can do that. But this was a long offseason because of that sting of those Auburn Tigers.
Oh, yeah. And not to mention the bowl game. But, you know, that 1 second in the Auburn game lasted all offseason.
It was the longest second ever.
It's the longest second ever. It's lasted us this whole offseason. Now we're almost back at it again. You know, we're going to have our chance for that revenge, the last game here in Tuscaloosa. But we have a lot in between now and then to prove not only to ourselves but to all our fans.
You look at it, you never lost to Auburn. You never lost to Tennessee.
Right.
But could you imagine, have you ever come off of a loss where it hurt you throughout the offseason, you used it for motivation throughout the season? Or see, you never did that. I mean, how many games did y'all lose when you were here? 4 or 5?
Well, I was going to say, you know, that my senior year, which was 80, when we were trying to three-peat, we lost to Mississippi State first, 6-3, and then Notre Dame later, 7-0. But that was my senior year, so I didn't go through that next offseason with that in my mind. The players that were still here obviously had to deal with that. And, you know, I wasn't here, so I don't know how they responded. But, you know, having won the previous two championships before this last year and then losing in that last second Auburn is very, very painful, because it really all comes down to that last second of last year for us. And that's a lot of work. There's a lot of days in between every Auburn game. And, you know, they've been living it, and hopefully they've been motivated, highly motivated, since that last second loss to do better this year.
Well, you know, it's our job. Now, this is Ryan talking. We've got to make sure that we continue to put the pressure on them. I mean, I say it all the time, and I say it jokingly, but they're the pinnacle of the SEC right now. I mean, we've got to put that pressure back on them, because that pressure is something that we don't often talk about.
Right.
But it's there. You guys felt it in the 70s.
Yeah, even though we didn't lose to them, it was always there that it was our, you know, it was a requirement, a necessity that we beat them, no matter what we had done prior to that. Luckily for us, we were blessed to have good teams, so we had won prior to playing them every year, but wouldn't have mattered, I don't think. We still wanted to beat them. We still thought about it. It's still something you talk about in this state all the time, all year long. And hey, the guys now feel no less pressure. You know, they want to win championships just like we did, and I have a lot of confidence that they're going to bounce back this year and have a great year.
Nick Saban's got it back to where it's championship or bust mentality, is it not?
I think so, yeah. I believe mean, so.
It's where that national championship, and we've had player after player that's told us that, but that was the pressure that you guys felt out of the 70s. And did you ever look back in the number that you wore, the player, the position that you played, did you feel like that you were representing the guys that had played at the University of Alabama in your position, your number? Did you feel like that you were representing that tradition and history?
Yeah, I mean, we were always taught by Coach Bryant that you know, that we were walking into a position of great importance at coming to Alabama, that the guys that had played before us, that had laid that foundation of championships, of being class players and winning and losing with class and being a champion, those that had come before us had laid that foundation. It was our job to not only perpetuate that, but, you know, to continue on after we were gone later in life, to still carry that with us whenever, wherever we went. And so, you know, although I don't know if we've all – that I know that I haven't always done that in my lifetime, I surely try to do it now, that wherever we go and whatever we do, we still represent Alabama. I mean, when I go and speak places, I'm still representing Alabama all these years later, and people still look at it that way. So no matter what else I've done or wherever I've been, I'm still an ex-Alabama guy. I'm proud to have been part of a tradition that continues today. And hopefully this Scott team this year will just build on that tradition and bring us home another championship.
You know, and I can only talk to certain people about this, and former players understand it. Bill, was there ever a point, you got to be honest with me here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back to 2000 for just a couple of minutes. As we walk our way to where we are now, was there ever a part of your mind, because there was to me, I mean, I was raised in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think that Alabama would never get back to that level that we had in the 70s, back to winning national titles? Because we went through a unique little valley in this program's history, and where Nick Saban took it after 2007.
I always thought that we would eventually get back. Now, did I know when, how, where, whatever? No. But I always felt like that, and here's why. Because what I just talked about was because of tradition, was a foundation of people that are winners, that will always be behind the program, that are still behind it now. I didn't know which head coach it was going to take to get us back there. I think Coach Moore, you know the story of how Coach Moore got Coach Saban to come here. I mean, he went to Miami basically with the mentality of, I'm either going to bring Nick Saban back to Alabama or I can't come back.
He said, I'm going to Cuba.
Yeah, he said, that's what he told me personally. He said, Bill, when I left, I knew if I didn't get him, I couldn't come back home. So he went down there and he did what he had to do. And obviously now we look back and think, wow, what a move, you know. And his vision, Coach Moore's vision, if people don't know that, lives on today. And Coach Battle is continuing that on. And a lot of what we see as growth around this university, you can attribute to Mal Moore. And no doubt, obviously, we can give him credit for bringing Coach Saban to be our coach.
We're talking to Bill Searcy right now, who played with the University of Alabama, walked out of here, never losing to Auburn, won two national titles, three SEC championships. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Three SEC championships, two national titles, never losing to Auburn, never losing to Tennessee. Talking about the Alabama Crimson Tide, but in a tradition history. Because, Bill, one of the reasons why I said I need to get Bill in the program, because we've got 35,000 students that arrived. And we've got a lot of newcomers from out of state. You were from out of state, but you were in the South. You understood the Alabama tradition.
Right.
We've got a lot of newcomers that are arriving and now going to their first class. And they look back, Alabama football started in 2007. That's what we try to do throughout the week, is try to give you a little bit different perspective of going back to the 70s and talking about Coach Bryant. I do want to walk through a couple things. What made Coach Bryant so successful? You guys just seemed to lay it all out there on the line. Was he a player's coach?
I think he was. And by the time I got here, and by the time the guys in my era got here, he had already, you know, he was a winner. He had a proven track record. Obviously, that's why we came here, was to hopefully be on a national championship team. That's why I left Georgia to come here. And there was just something about Coach Bryant. Like, you know, I know this is cliche, but he was just a winner. You know, when he walked in the room, if you had never met him, you just knew he had control of the room. And whatever he said, you just believed it to be true. And I think that at that time, we as players, if he would have told us, in order to win the championship, we need to go out here in 59 and dodge traffic, we would have gone out in 59 and dodge traffic, because we just believed in what he would tell us, you know. So, just because, I mean, we knew he was. He had already done it. He wasn't just talking. He did the work. And we would see the projector flickering early in the mornings into late into the night with him as the head coach. And and he worked hard. He had a lot of coaches around him that worked hard, and a lot of his coaches were ex-players that had played for him, and they would tell us the stories of Coach Bryant when he was younger and what they had been through. And, of course, every year you talk to an Alabama player, I'm sure we all think we had it the toughest of them all. I'm sure the guys that are here now think that we didn't have it as tough as they've got it now, but whatever. All we cared about was winning, and you know what? Every time we did what he told us to do, we won. And so that just built on itself, and then we continued, and he taught us that we were a family, that we were responsible to each other, to pick the other guy up next to us, that if we all just did our job, 11 guys together at a time on the field, that we would win. And that's what we tried to do, and that's what we did, and we won.
Can you still hear that voice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can hear it, not in not so good a way sometimes, but
Bill,
I can. I can still hear those team meetings. I can still remember my freshman year, the very first meeting we had when he told us that we weren't kids anymore, that we were getting ready to grow up, and that he had us now, and we were going to do what he said for us to do, and if we did that, we would leave here being champions, and that once again he gave us that talk about being family, and that from that point forward 30 something years ago till now, there are some of my teammates that they are part of me, they are my family. And I know of stories where my old teammates have gotten together to help a brother that was in whatever kind of trouble it was, to pick him up, and he taught us that, you know, that's where we learned that from. So that blood runs very deep, and no matter if you played here in the 70s, 80s, 90s, whenever, now we all have that common thread, we all just want to be winners.
Let me go back to fall camp for just a couple of seconds, because fall camp, I'm sure, was special under Coach Bryant. Mm-hmm. We go back to the Junction Boys. Maybe that didn't happen in Tuscaloosa. We could put a memorial out there as Bill is looking at me going, fall camp in Tuscaloosa. What was it like under Coach Bryant?
It was extremely hard. I mean, you know, nowadays – The regulations don't allow the time to be put in like we did. And I don't know how many days. I don't know all the regulations now. And quite honestly, I can't even remember how many days of true two-a-days where we were practicing twice a day in full pads, preparing, getting ready for that season opener. And it was a very difficult time, because you have to understand that back in those days, the training concepts were totally different. The dietitians they have now, there was no such thing as that. I mean, they didn't believe in water. They thought if you drank too much water while we were trying to prepare to get ready, it made you weaker. That you weren't
waterlogged, right?
That you wouldn't be as good as condition as you could be by the fourth quarter. So we weren't mistreated. Don't get me wrong, but we worked extremely hard. And what is amazing is we all made it. None of us died. None of us, you know, fell out from heat stroke. Although I'm sure there probably were some back in those days, but we all made it, because you know what? We didn't know any difference. We didn't have air conditioning. We didn't, place to go on the field to cool off or anything like that. Wish we would have. I would have loved to have had that. But, you know, we just did what we were told to do. But we came from a different era. We came from out of high school knowing those things. When I was in high school, we didn't get water. We didn't, you know, that was just the way things were done back then.
This is it's a dumb question. It's because I don't know. But you hear about Coach Bryant coaching in the tower. Mm-hmm. How much time did he – was that something that happened during the season? Was that during fall camp? Obviously, they always said when Coach Bryant came off the tower
– it wasn't good.
It was not good.
No.
But did he spend more time working on some of the fundamentals during fall camp?
You know, spring – back in our day, spring, we had 20 practices in the spring then, and that was when we worked on our – what you would really call – more of the fundamentals of blocking, tackling, all the basic things was spring. Once you came into two-a-days, you were still doing some fundamental things, and we still did quite a bit of full speed. Everything was full speed, even in two-a-days, and some of the fundamentals. But then we, you know, also on our mind was getting ready for that first season opener. So there was some game preparation, but trust me, it was still blocking, tackling, and that's what Coach Bryant was all about anyway, were the fundamentals of the game. You know, if you can run the ball, we can win. If we can stop them on defense, we can win. And so we practice those things.
I go back to that one question that you and I were talking about a couple of minutes ago. Fundamentals. We talked about Coach Bryant, the fundamentals that he taught you back in the 70s. we try to make this game complex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's still simple.
Still simple. Still blocking and tackling, man.
Win the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
It's run still, the football, stop the runs, what you said.
That's it. It's still blocking and tackling, running the ball, stopping the run, you know, playing great on special teams and winning the special teams part of the game. And, you know, people forget about that part, as I do too. I tend to not pay much attention to it. But, hey, lots of games are going to be won and lost in the special teams, as we know from a kick return last year.
And, well, oh, wow. Bill, did you have to bring that up?
Well, just reminding.
Okay. Well, and I got to be honest. I would have pulled a Woody Hayes if I'd have been on the sidelines.
Yeah, I know.
And we had a guy in the 50s, and the name escapes me, but we had a guy in the 50s that did that here. Mm-hmm. I would have been that guy. If I would have been on the sidelines, because, see, media guys are allowed to go down the last 10 minutes, 8, 9 minutes in the game. I would have been that guy.
Yeah, well. Hey,
Daniel Moore would have painted a portrait
of you,
of the idiot that's got a beard that'll never be in the media business again.
You would have been infamous, though. Yeah,
the Bama Nation would have loved me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's something that we very seldom talk about because it's not glamorous to talk about, you know, but such an important part of the game, and Coach Bryant used to emphasize it so much, and I am sure that Coach Saban does too. I think all great coaches do because, you know, and, you know, reality is this. I don't think this part's changed either. There's probably 5 or 6 plays every game that decide the game. We never know which plays that'll be. We don't know if it'll be on offense or defense. And that's why it makes the game so great because, you know, if we're playing 60, 70 plays, 80 maybe in a game, depending, you know, that five, there's going to be 5 or 6 that will decide. And so that's why it's so critical, and that's what we always were preached, that that's why it's so critical that every play, every down, it's 100%. You're trying to win on every play, and that's what it takes to be national champion.
You look at Alabama on the offensive line side. You've replaced all 5 starters within 2 years. You lost 3 guys the previous year, DJ Fluker, Barrett Jones, Chance Wormack, which may be the better of the 3.
That's 3 huge ones, yeah.
And then you lose Cyrus Kwonjo and Anthony Steen the following year.
Right.
All 5 are gone, but you've got some depth. You got some guys that have played some time there. But looking at the offensive line, talk about it's not individual play on that unit. It's about chemistry and taking up for the guy beside you or to the left or the right of you. Talk about the offensive line. How do you get that unit to play better as one unit?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, it's a matter of repetitions of those 5 guys, those 5 starters getting, you know, hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of repetitions with each other to where – each one of them knows what the other guy's thinking, knows how the other guy's going to react. And so that after a while, even though there's calls being made across the line, you probably could do it without making the calls because you just know what your guy's going to do that's next to you. That's why it's so tough to keep it together for a whole year because somebody always gets hurt. Somebody always is out for a while. And so you very seldom go through the whole season with the starting 5 making it through the whole year. You know, who knows? But, you know, we've had a whole spring to work together. And now, of course, our preseason camp now. And hopefully they're gelling and coming together. And hopefully soon we'll be healing up and everybody will be 100% come the first game. You know, you and I had this same discussion last year about this time about the offensive line.
Yes, we did.
And, you know, the first game, I think I remember talking to you after the first game and both of us were kind of, don't know. We're not sure exactly how it looked. Can't really tell. But, you know, as the year went on, things got better. They became more consistent. But, you know, now we got the wild card this year, though, to throw in the quarterback situation. And not really knowing who the starter's going to be. No matter who it is, it won't be somebody who started, you know, that has a lot of starting experience, obviously. So, you know, those 2 things being kind of out there without any of us really knowing yet, it should be an interesting start of the year.